your dad.
Thank you.
dog pen because I found a kid.
This is a good dog, bro.
No, the whole thing is dog. No, the whole thing is just dog. At that time, you do the song.
Thank you. Get away. Thank you. praying.
Yeah.
presence is fullness of joy. Father, there is freedom, there is deliverance, there is healing. God, we glorify you, and we thank you, Lord, that you bring down in this place. We thank you, Father, for your anointing. We thank you, Father.
word that you've spoken, every promise that you've spoken, it will come to pass. Father, that's what we sing and that's what we worship you. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness towards us, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. We'd like to do is just hand you a gift bag right where you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone here for the first time? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just wave your hand that the ushers notice. Thank you. God bless you. And I know sometimes visitors don't want to raise their hand. It's like right as they walked in here and they're not sure what we're going to do. But we'd just like to give you that gift bag. Inside there's a CD that Pastor Steve preached a very encouraging message, and we give it to you hoping that it'll be an encouragement to you. Maybe we just put it in your car during the week and it blesses you. And then also in that bag is a white card. We ask you just take a moment and fill that out. And at the end of the service, well, in a little while we'll pass an offering bag. You can just drop that card in and it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you. So we thank you for doing that. Well, as you can see, I'm on my lonesome. Pastor Steve is preaching at Christian Family Church in San Antonio this morning, and they invite him there a few times a year. Pastor Theo is our pastor, our senior pastor, and they always like Pastor Steve to come and preach, so I hope you extend him the grace to let him go. He's very well received when he goes there. They love him. And it's one Sunday. So. There we go. And for those who are visiting, I'm Jill Barry. I'm the pastor's wife. And today I'll be ministering to you. So I hope you have a good time. I like the opportunity. But before we begin the message, we're going to receive the offering. I like to do that right at the beginning of the service so that we don't have any delays at the end. But, you know, giving is a time where we get to honor God with what we have received. How many of you think that everything we have comes from the Lord? Right? Well, once you realize that, then giving is not a problem. Right? I don't know about you, and I think it may be true, but I came into this world with nothing. And everything I have, the gifts, the talents, everything I have comes from God. It's a blessing from God. He is my source. And so to give is an honor. It's a privilege. When we tithe, we are giving back to God what He first gave to us, right? And, you know, many times, you know, if you have the mindset, sometimes people have the mindset, oh, well, I've got to help the church. No. Honestly, the principles of giving and tithing in the Word of God are really to help us. It's to help us individually. When I give, when I tithe, it's a principle that puts me in a position to receive from God, right? And it's the same with your life. When you honor God by tithing and giving, it puts you in a position where the Bible says when you bring your tithe into the storehouse, the windows of heaven will be open above you. Says when you give, it'll be given back to you. We don't give to get back, but the Bible says if they linked, you cannot give and you cannot outgive God. And so, sincerely, you know, if it was a one-sided where the church wanted to receive your money, which is sometimes a real problem for people to overcome, then you've got the whole thing turned around. We believe this for ourselves and we believe it for our kids. We've taught our kids from the word go that you honor God with what you have. If you want God's blessing on your finances, honor God with what you have, right? And when each one of us does, according to the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, each one of us, each week, do according to our abilities, then the whole body is taken care of. Amen?
Amen.
And God blesses our finances. So today, there are envelopes on the seats right where you're sitting. There's different ways to give. It'll come up on the screen. You can have a look at that. Some of them are pretty easy. I like the text giving myself or the Secure Give app. But Pastor Steve asked me to mention we have a three-week deadline to our next deposit on our building. So we are so excited. We've got, we're halfway there. He met with the owner on Friday again. He loves to just meet Pastor Steve and just talk. And we have such favor with him. And there's just, you know, we have zoning going and we have traffic studies going and we have all of everything, the architect, everything's underway. And we really appreciate everybody who's given towards that. We have $25,000 that we've got to put down in 3 weeks. And we appreciate you just prayerfully asking the Lord what it is, what can I do? And just obey that. So thank you so much for doing that. We appreciate it. And those that are watching online can go ahead and give as well. Thank you. You can prepare yourselves. You look very still. Ushers, thank you. Don't be too quiet today. We have some of our louder people away through the, so you'll have to make up for it. But I'm glad you're here. Are you glad to be in the house of God? You know, I just got a chance to ask you, but last week, not last week, but the week before, or let me start out last week, the message that Pastor Steve preached about don't be discouraged, overcoming discouragement. It was so good, and a number of people asked us if they could get the recording, and we didn't have it last week, but we will have it this week. It's on podcast as well, and the podcast is usually up every Tuesday, Steve Battery Ministries, so go ahead and download that. That's so good to have. And then the week before that, we had Ed Trout. Did you enjoy Ed Trout? Good ministry, right? I heard a testimony this week that I thought was amazing. I don't know who it was, I don't know if they're here, but Pastor Steve always calls the visitors, and he called a lady, and she said that it was her first time here when Prophet Ed Trout was here, and he called her out and prophesied over her, and he said, one of the things he said to her was, you have a parent looking for you. And she said she just went numb because she was adopted when she was really little. And I thought, isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing that he can just pinpoint something so important in somebody's life like that? So I look forward to hearing the story as it continues. I'd like to hear the end of that story. Amen. Well, as we get ready for the message, I just wanted to say, I don't, you know, if Pastor Steve was here and I said good things about him, you might think I was just sucking up. But I mean it, and I just want to say, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to preach. Pastor Steve is never with me or any of our kids. He's, you know, if one of the kids says, Dad, I have something that I want to share, and he'll just hand in the microphone and let them, because he believes in the gifts inside of people. And I love the way that he loves people. He has a real soft heart towards, you know, sometimes pastors kind of blow in and blow out and don't really care about the people as much. But honestly, 24/7, he cares about each one. He's always talking to somebody, and I love that about him. I love that he's a genuine pastor at heart. And I just wanted to say that to you while he's not here. But I appreciate this opportunity to preach. And are you ready?
Yeah.
Should I put my timer on? Yes. Yes. I guarantee you, you'll get out here faster than when you preach. No, I can't. I'm hoping. Let's hope. we can always believe, right? And so, ushers, have you received the offering? They've done it? Yes, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray right now. Father God, we come to you this morning. I thank you for this opportunity for us to gather as believers. I thank you, Father, for your word that is unchanging. I know, Father, that people have walked in here today from all walks of life. They've come in here with questions. They've come in here with needs. They've come in here with desires. And they're looking to hear from you, Father. They've not come to hear from a man, but they've come to hear from your word and to be fed. Lord Jesus, you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so today, as I speak the words that you have written, the accounts that you've given us to teach us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak through me, that it would not be my voice that's heard, but that your word would go forth with anointing, with demonstration, with power into the hearts of your people, that you would answer their questions, that you would fill their hearts with faith, that doubts would come off of them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. That's all for 1 minute. Come on, drinking that coffee. In place of water. Just for now. Praise God. Well, in the few minutes we have together today, I want to tell you the story of how one man in the Bible, anybody here read their Bible? Well, ask me what's in there, right? The Bible says that the stories in the Old Testament are given to us as an example. I'll just do one thing here because this is going to go off constantly. Let me just take my auto lock off. You know, the Bible says that the Old Testament, the stories have been given to us to teach us, to inspire us, to give us a direction in our lives. And I want to tell you about a man who went from being a refugee to being a rainmaker. And my message today is called The Rainmaker. And I hope it's going to encourage you. But the Bible says in James 5 that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, with the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. And he prayed intensely for it not to rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. So the Bible says that Elijah was a man. You know, that's very important for us to know, because sometimes we think of the people in the Bible as superhuman. We think of them as something different. Well, I could never do that because I could never really learn from that, because he was different. He was like God's man. I'm just human. But the Bible says very clearly he was human like we are. And from his story, we're going to get some insight into how faith works. And so that when we pray, we get results. So we can be making it rain, right? So let's go to the story. It's in 1 Kings 18, if you'd like to follow that. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. It says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now let me just say that Ahab, in that day, he was the king. A wicked king, married to Jezebel, and they led this nation astray from God. But Elijah was the prophet in that day. So he said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. They had been through a drought. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Then Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees. So we have a picture right here of a nation that's going to come out of the drought. But it doesn't happen all at once. It happens in stages. And it carries on. It says in verse 43, he said to his servant, go up now, look at the sea. And he went and he looked up and he said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot. Go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And I think it's great that Elijah ran 17 miles and he outran the king's chariot because he was ready for rain. And the question comes today, are you really ready for rain? You know, because we say, oh Lord, pour the rain down on us. We talk about spiritual things, we talk about God's promises, but are we really ready for it? And, you know, for the longest time, I've been very interested in, like, the creative process. The, you know, maybe you see a good movie, and you see the setting, and you see the, you know, I saw the making of the Planet of the Apes. I was watching a little bit on it yesterday, and it's fascinating. It makes you want to look into the creative process. Where did it all begin, and how did it all work? Or maybe, you know, like, into writing a book. We've got a number of people in here that have written books, Tom and Pam and Stacy, and what did it take? What was the thought process that went in? Because we know it didn't just happen, that it was a creative process that took place. Or maybe like Monique writing songs, where did it begin? What was the thought behind it? How do you get the melody? So, Dave is an artist. Who are you, Dave? Dave is an artist. You know, if you want to create a great painting, it doesn't just happen, it's got to begin, there's a creative process to it, and you want to know how did it start, because sometimes it surprises you, because where it started is not where it ends up. Yeah. Starting is a whole different thing. Starting is not very impressive. Anybody ever started going to gym? Anybody started going to gym? It sucks, right? It's really not good. It's not funny to do because you know you have a whole lot of work to do. You know there's a whole lot of work that's in that process. And you know, I've actually walked in and got all my gym clothes on, walked into the gym, took one look at all these people sweating and huffing and puffing, and thought about how sore I'm going to be for 2 weeks afterwards, and walked right out. Because it's just like getting started is really not that easy. So touch your neighbor and say there's something about getting started. Tell them, get started. We're going to get started. In these few minutes we have together, I'm going to teach a few things from the story of Elijah that will teach us a little bit about the nature of faith. You know, there's something about the nature of faith that's illustrated beautifully in this. And I hope you go home and read through 1 Kings. It's so interesting. We see that Elijah says to King Ahab, there is the sound of abundance of rain. Do you know that often when it comes to the realm of faith, we hear things that we cannot yet see? Yeah. Elijah was hearing rain. They were seeing drought. Right? We hear things that we cannot yet see. And when the Word of God comes into your life, you may not always see an immediate change in your situation. It first starts in here. We receive the Word of God today and something happens and a seed is planted and something gets started, right? And maybe your circumstance looks exactly the same, but something's changing. And I feel like teaching a little bit about this today because there are a few stages that we need to go through if we want to come out of drought. And when I talk about drought, it's just talking about dry places. It's not necessarily that we're like on the point of bankruptcy or that my marriage has totally fallen apart. But there are times, there are dry places in our lives where we believe in God for change to happen, right? And, you know, sometimes I find that you can look at a person's outside situation and think everything's great and they're winning, but on the inside something's dry too. So God's working on us all the time. So I want to talk about coming out of drought, and specifically I want to talk about some of the enemies from the story, some of the enemies that will come against your faith. And I hope it will teach us something. There's at least three that I see, and they're illustrated in this text that I read to you. And it's a picture of the process of faith. Now, you know, I got saved in a Baptist church, and I love the Baptists. They know everything about salvation. They They can get you saved any day of the week, right? And so they knew, I knew all about faith to get saved. And that's so important, because if that's all we've got, that's great. We've got it, right? Salvation. But I found that we need our faith every day for every situation, even once we are saved, right? The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. So we've got to use our faith in various circumstances that we face. The Bible says in Hebrews 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, you know, it's like when I see Jesus, when I die and go to heaven one day, I won't need faith for salvation, right? Because it'll be there already. I need faith when I cannot see. That's the whole point. I need faith now. There's some things that I know in my soul, but I don't see yet in my situation, and that is what faith is for. That is where the faith wall comes in, right? I need faith now. So, you know, if you had to talk about us as a church, I think you could probably name us a faith church. You know, or faith preachers. And now that's had a bad connotation sometimes, but I'm not talking about fake preachers. I'm not talking about acting like everything's okay when it's not okay. I'm talking about having something on the inside, but we haven't seen it yet on the outside, but we believe in God for that to happen. Amen? We believe it's happening even though we don't see it. And that's what we are, faith people. That means that beneath the surface, I've got faith. In hard times, I've got faith. In dry times, I've got faith. You may not see it, but the faith is there. Amen? And so the first stage that I said, there are three stages and three enemies that will come against your faith that you've got to get through in order to see, you to make some rain like Elijah did. The first one is the invisibility stage. Sometimes it's invisible, because there's always a stage of invisibility with faith. There are three stages that I'm going to mention, and the first one is invisibility. And you know, maybe today as you're sitting here, you can think about where you find yourself in your faith walk. The stage where you may be like Elijah, who heard something, who perceived something, who believed something, and yet he didn't see anything, right? That's the stage of invisibility. Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Now, if you say there's an abundance of rain, it's not good news if you just washed your car, right? And it's not good news if you've got an outdoor wedding. And it's not good news for a pastor. You've heard Pastor Steve say, I wish it wouldn't rain on Sunday. People don't come to church when it rains. Yeah. And so, but if you are thirsty, the sound of abundance of rain is not inconvenient, right? Yeah. It's not inconvenient at all. It's like, you know, sometimes people can sit in church and hear a message and be looking at their watch and thinking, when's this going to be over? It's because they're not desperate enough. But if you have a need, if you are thirsty, if you are hungry, if you need something from God, then you come in and you're desperate and you're like, I need to hear a word from the Lord, right? I need to hear. I'm thirsty. I need that sound of rain. If you're in a situation where you need God to change something in your life, then you say, I need the word of God that is the bread of life, that every word that proceeds from God's mouth, I'm thirsty for that, right? And so you'll be pleased and you'll be sitting here saying, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord. I know. You know, many times we sit here and after service, people will say, that was exactly me. That was just what I needed to hear. Because God has a way when you are hungry, when you're seeking after Him, when you open your ears, your spiritual ears to hear, then He will answer whatever it is that you need, right? And so I hear the sound of abundance of rain. You know, maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I've got some seed in the ground. I need the rain. I need the rain. So that's the whole attitude towards rain depends on where you are, where your hunger is, where your thirst is. And you know, when that storm comes, when that rain comes, it only serves to reveal where our foundation is. Jesus said there were two houses, and when the storm hit the house, it stood strong because it was built upon the Word of God. And so we're building today. We're building on the Word of God. We're building our faith on the Word of God. Tell somebody, I'm ready for some rain. So Ahab goes off to eat and drink, but Elijah, he just proclaimed, there's a sound of abundance of rain. Go on, Ahab, prepare yourself. And he goes up to the top of Mount Carmel. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground, which I can't demonstrate because it's kind of like a yoga position, it seems like. I'm not very good at those. He bowed down to the ground, and he put his face between his knees. And so everything is in motion, and I don't know if you know this about Elijah, but before he becomes this amazing rainmaker, he's been a refugee. He's been hiding for 3.5 years. I mean, he caused it. He stopped the rain because of King Ahab, that people started to depend on other sources other than God. And how many of you know sometimes when you start depending on other sources that are other than God, you'll get cut off. Because God doesn't want you depending on other sources, right? He wants you depending on Him. He doesn't want you depending on a source that can't sustain you. And so they've been cut off, and they have to come back to God as the source. But anyway, Elijah, as a refugee, he's hiding from Jezebel. Queen Jezebel was wicked, wicked, wicked. And he's hiding from her. She's in charge of all the rain gods. They worship Baal, and they believe their gods, you know, were in charge of the rain. And they weren't doing a very good job, as it was, because they'd been in drought. But they thought they had all this power. So now the rain has stopped falling. And, you know, just like us, sometimes we'll come into seasons in our life where it'll feel like the rain has stopped falling. Yeah. Like it's kind of like there's some drought, right? Yeah. But Elijah, it comes time for him. I hope you're following me. We're going through the story. We're going to come to, I need you to get the background in order to really get it. When the time came for Elijah to present himself before Ahab and Jezebel, the wicked king and queen, they were responsible for the people going away from God, he comes to them boldly. I mean, you've got to take your hat off to him. He comes to them boldly, but he's already survived a whole lot, so he's ready for this. And anybody seen the show Survivor?
Yes.
You think you'd make it?
Yes.
Who said yes?
I did.
Yeah.
I believe you. Really. I don't remember to. I'll be voted off like the first day. Just to get out of it. So, but Elijah survives this dry season, and he did it by obeying the voice of the Lord his God. Elijah, in those situations, God says to him, go to the brook, and I'll send birds to feed you there. In 1 Kings 17, the word of the Lord came to him and said, get away from there, turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there. So let me tell you, God will provide for you in some strange ways. You've got to stop telling God how he can and cannot bless you, how he can and cannot feed you, because God may use ways that you don't even know. But, I heard this statement this week, and I just was like, that was incredible. In fact, I read it on Twitter, and I'm not ashamed to say, and I took a screenshot of it, and I typed it in my message, because I was like, man, that's good. The provision of God does not mean that I'll never go through a famine. You know, sometimes we get so confused, because we're like, why am I going through a dry season? But the provision of God does not mean we will not go through a famine. It means we will live through it. Right? Elijah went through a famine, but he lived through it. There were miracles. Then God provided. There were all, just like your story. You can look back and say, man, that was a dry season, but I came through it. We got through it, right? And so don't be shocked when you have some dry seasons in your life, but I want to show us the faith to get through those dry seasons. So God provides for Elijah at the brook through these dirty birds who eat meat. They don't give meat, but they would bring you meat every day. And then he says, go, I have a widow that's going to provide for you. And he's like, really? A widow? He says, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow to provide for you. And he's like, really, Lord? Couldn't it have been a rich person? Why do you have to send me to a widow? You know, I mean, she needs more than I do. But sometimes God will direct you to someone who needs more than you do. And when you're helping them meet their need, God meets your need. And I like that about it. So God, he does all of these things. All the story of Elijah is miraculous because God is always our provider. And he's a refugee for those 3.5 years until he becomes this rainmaker. So he comes to Ahab and Jezebel, and he stands up and he makes fun of her prophets. She's got all these prophets. They like they make this deal. They say that they're going to, Elijah says, you put your sacrifice, you bring an animal, I'll bring an animal. You call on your gods to bring down fire, and I'll call on my God to bring down fire, and the God who answers by fire, he is the Lord. And so he says, you go first. So there's these 450 prophets, and they're like, it says they're doing their little rain dance, and they're getting so worked up, and they're getting so frustrated, and they go on, they go night and day, and they call in on the rain gods to pour down fire, and nothing happens. And then Elijah goes, and he does something strange. He takes water, and he pours it all over his wood before he calls on the Lord. Then he takes more, he says, give me more water, and he pours it all over the wood. He wets the wood. And you might say, that's a strange thing to do, but remember, this is a man walking by faith.
Yes.
You know, you've got to remember that, because many times the way God shows his presence is when it's in impossible situations.
Yes.
Yeah. He wanted no doubt that this was God that did it,
yeah.
Right? And so, you know, maybe you're in an impossible situation. It's called the invisibility stage. It's when you don't see the answers to your prayers yet. Where you've prayed and you're asking God to do something, but it's still yet invisible. You feel it on the inside, but it's invisible on the outside. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe you've been praying that God would do something, but it looks like it's never going to work. Maybe it's in that child that you've been praying for, and they just don't seem to get any better. Maybe it's in business that you're having a heart, and you're not seeing any breakthrough. You're not seeing financially. You're just not seeing what you need to see. It's invisible right now. I sense God doing it. I hear the sound of it. I believe what I hear. I believe what I read when I read the word, but I don't yet see anything. Anybody in that stage right now? Right? In some area of your life. And so Elijah, while the king goes off to eat and drink on the mountain when he's up on Carmel, he closes his eyes and he believes by faith that what he has spoken will come to pass. Elijah's believing God. And then I want to demonstrate today, so I'm going to get myself a servant. Would you like to be my servant, Abel?
Yes.
Yeah. Give Abel a hand. Abel's my servant today. And the servant is going to run to the top of the mountain. So there ain't no mountains in Florida. So the mountain's going to be at that back window. So go for us, Abel. The servant runs to the top of the mountain. I want you to see what he did. I want you to think about it. So he doesn't just go one time, which is going to be really good for Abel. But he goes fast. He goes up the mountain because Elijah says, go see what you can see. He's looking for rain, right? It's invisible as yet, but he's believing God for it. And then the servant comes back. But he comes back a little slower because he's got to deliver some bad news to the man of God. And how many of you know you don't want to deliver bad news to the man of God who just killed 450 prophets of Baal, right? And so he comes to Elijah, he approaches him, and this Elijah doesn't even look up at you. He's in this kind of weird prayer position. And the servant comes back and he says, there's nothing there. Thanks a lot. Was the servant wrong? No, it's not a trick question. It is a trick question. There was nothing there. You can say, thanks, Abel. You know, there's a rain cycle. Do you know about the rain cycle? Whoever did geography at school. So before you get any rain, something has to happen. The sun shines on the water evaporates, it's pulled up, it creates clouds. then it cools down, and then the rain falls. So there's a cycle that happens before you see some rain. Isn't that right? So something is happening when nothing is seen. I like that. Something is happening when nothing is seen. It's so much like faith. So the sermon is like, I don't know if you want me to go and catch up with Ahab and tell him to just cool it on racing the chariot and eating the food and drinking, because I don't know what you heard, Elijah, but I've seen nothing. So whenever we start in faith, remember there's a process. We're talking about a creative process that's taking place. It feels like nothing. It feels like nothing. Nothing. Maybe that's where you are. You pray and you feel like nothing. Nothing, nothing is happening. And, you know, it's like when we started this church, what did we start? There was nothing. You always start with nothing. So, do you know when Jesus went out to the mountain to preach and there were 5,000 men as well as women and children, what did they take with for lunch? Nothing. Right? Nothing. They packed nothing. And I wonder if you're in that nothing stage, because if you're in that nothing stage, it's not that easy to deal with. You know, maybe the doctors have told you there's nothing that we can do. Or maybe, there's no business coming in. That's a nothing kind of stage. It's an invisibility stage, and it's kind of tough because you know what you've heard and you know what you sense, but what you see is in direct contradiction to what you sense. It's like you're looking for something, but you just don't see it yet. Do you know what it feels like to be believing God for something and seeing nothing?
Yeah.
Anybody? I know I'm belaboring the point, but I want us to get this feeling so that when we're in the I see nothing stage, we don't give up on our faith. That's why it's an enemy to our faith, because it causes us to give up because we see nothing, right? So Elijah does something. He looks at the servant and he says, go again. Go again. Look at your neighbor and say, go again.
Go again.
Point at the servant and say to him, go back, go again. Come on, Abel, come back. Come back. Tell me, has anything changed?
No, there's nothing.
There's still nothing. There's still nothing. I'm dragging this point out because this is how faith feels.
Yes.
You believe that, Tom?
Yes.
You know it? This is how faith feels sometimes. This is how it feels to write a song or paint a painting or raise a kid or start a business or wait on God by faith. This is how faith feels. It feels like there's nothing. That's how it felt for 3.5 years, where he hears the sound, but he sees nothing, right? Okay, Abel. He looks at him and he says, go again. Go, go, go back. See? Notice that Elijah is not getting up from where he is. He's sending a runner to go and take a look. Because maybe Elijah thinks if he went himself, and he saw with his own eyes, it would take away the faith that he had. It's dangerous to start looking at your circumstances because your faith is just sucked right out of you, right? And so the Bible says in Matthew 14, I'll just tell you the story from Matthew 14. Remember, Jesus is preaching, then he says to the disciples, get in a boat and go to the other side. And so they go, and then he comes walking on the water at about 3 a.m. And Peter says, is that really you, Lord? He said, yes, it is. He said, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. And Peter starts walking on the water. He's walking on water. It's miraculous. He's walking on water. But he looks up. The Bible says he looks at the wind and the waves.
Right.
And he's like, oh my gosh, I can't walk on water in a storm. Like the wind and the waves, I'm going to drown. And he begins to sink. And Jesus said, where is your faith? As soon as he turned his eyes from the word that Jesus spoke, which was come, he began to sink. He began to look at his own circumstances. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we look not at the things which are seen, but of the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporary, brief, fleeting. The things which are invisible are everlasting. One more time, Abel. He looks at him and he says, still nothing? Okay, go again. This is my message to you about this. Still nothing, go again. Still nothing, pray again. Still nothing, believe again.
Some
ideas that you have in your heart from the Lord and you start writing them down, you've got to be proud of those things, because those are the start of something big that God can do. It's insignificant, because that doesn't do anything for anybody. But what it leads to is what will do something to change the world, right? And so I'm proud of that, the start of the dream, the start of the goals, the start of the plan, of even of things that didn't work, because they taught me what not to do and how and what I'm going to do the next time. We've got to shout over the small stuff. But the servant comes back and he says, there's a cloud. It's not much. There's something, but it's not much. It's just the size of a man's hand. And you know that Elijah jumps up. And Elijah's like, let's go, let's go, let's go. There's a cloud. You know, it's not much, but let's go. He's willing to run with it, right? And so I feel like we should have like the chariots of fire music going on. It's just like you can just tell this guy is going to go. It's building. It's not much, but it's something. But God's working. God's doing something. And he wants to run out and get right in front of it. And you know what, if we would start moving, family, if we start moving, when we see just a little bit of blessing, when you see just a little change in your husband, when you see your child just do one thing that looks like they're turning around, celebrate what's going on. Say, God, I see you moving. God, I see it's changing. God, my faith is in this, right? And get with it. You know, sometimes when you're doing something, it feels insignificant. I know that moms feel like this. I know that people who are starting businesses feel like this. It seems so insignificant. People, sometimes it's you've just got to stop and you've got to say, what I'm doing, this is significant. What I'm doing, this is significant. I'm running a mom, you're running a vacuum cleaner, or you're changing a diaper. You've got to say, this is significant. Just to come home and be a good husband, you've got to say, this is significant. When I take that envelope and I faithfully tithe, this is significant. It's not changing the whole world, but I'm doing something, right? And this is significant. I'm opening my Bible. I'm starting to read it. And this is significant. I'm beginning to pray. I'm starting to do things God's way. This is significant. I like that. Because the devil won't like it when you talk like that, because the way that he stops our faith, he's got to get you to stop and say, this is nothing, or this is too little. I give up on this. I don't want to do this anymore. This is never going to work. We've got to say, this is significant. God is moving. I love the Apostle Steve's got such he's got so much faith, I'll tell you, because his faith is so strong that when everything looks like it's not going to work, he believes God that it's going to work. And I tell you, you've got to be like that if you want to see anything happen in your life. Amen? It's a cloud the size of a man's hand. It does not much, but it's something. You know, we've got a long way to go because we have 3.5 years of famine, but it's something, and it's starting, and it's significant, and God's moving. Amen? Yeah. And I'm going to show you one last thing, and I won't take too long on this. Let's see how my time's going. Should I? No. Oh, I lost it. I only preached for 1 minute. So... I'm going to show you one more thing, because how many of you know that we have an enemy?
Amen.
You know, some people don't want to think about the devil. But even if you think about it from a psychological standpoint, our brains are wired for survival. So when we living in our head, all we're thinking about is surviving. That's what Elijah had been doing for 3.5 years. He'd just been surviving, right? He's been running and surviving. So when the rain comes, at first, he's running and he runs out ahead of it. He's running ahead of the chariot because he's ready for revival. He's ready for it. The prophets of Baal have been destroyed. They're all dead. And he runs 17 miles on the fuel of his faith, on the fuel of God's promise. But then something happens. And the third enemy of your faith, the first is invisibility, the second is insignificance, and the third one is intimidation. Because if the enemy can't kill you in the invisibility stage and you hang in there, and he can't kill you in the insignificant stage and you keep going, then he'll come with some intimidation. He wants to contain you. If he can't keep God from making it rain, but maybe he can keep you from receiving the rain from God. So when the storm came and Ahab went down and he told Jezebel what Elijah had done, she knew her days were numbered. And here is where we watch the faith of a rainmaker become the fear of a runaway. In 1 Kings 19:2, it says, "So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, 'May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you as you killed them.'" So she threatens. She sends a messenger, "I'm coming to kill you. I'm coming to kill you, Elijah." So what we're expecting now, because we've seen this mighty man of God, we're expecting this response where he goes, "You know what you can do with your threats, Jezebel." But instead, we're shocked because we see in 1 Kings 19:2, it says, "Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life." I never thought I would ever see those three words, "Elijah was afraid." I mean, I understood if he had run when there was drought,
yeah,
right? When there was drought and he had a ran. But now it's raining and he's running for his life. You know, I think if Jezebel really could have killed him, she would have just sent her bailiffs and she would have just brought him in and had him killed. But all she's got is a threat. Don't you know that's just like the devil? He's got a big mouth. And he'll threaten you and he'll say, "This is the end of you. You thought this was going to work. Now everybody's going to see your faith doesn't work." The devil's got a big mouth and Jezebel is threatening. And sometimes we get so close. But that threat that comes to us, that intimidation, will stop us from going any further. She knows she can't kill him, but she's trying to contain him. Do you know that the devil found out a long time ago that he can't curse what God has blessed?
Amen.
If he could have killed you, he would have killed you. If he could have made it stop raining, he would have made it stop raining. But since he couldn't kill you, it makes you want to stop. It makes you want to say, "I'm not going to use my faith anymore. This stuff is too hard. Anybody felt tired sometimes?
Yes.
You felt tired and you feel like just putting your head under the covers, right? But that message last week on overcoming discouragement was a good one, because we all face it. You face it. There's tough times that we face. But if we don't get through the intimidation stage, we'll be running like Elijah. And so, you know, I feel like this message is for someone today. I feel like I hope that, you know, it was kind of teaching, and so it's not a jump up and shout all the way through, but I feel like if we don't get taught, then when we are facing hard times, we don't realize that other people go through this. We don't realize that someone like the mighty Elijah had to believe God when he saw nothing, when it was insignificant, when the devil was throwing threats at him, and it was a real threat. I mean, Jezebel would cut his head off in an instant. He'd just kill all her prophets. But you know, sometimes we're running from shame that the cross of Jesus has already taken away from us. Sometimes we're running from the power of sin that's already been broken. Sometimes we're running in fear from situations that God has already taken care of, okay? And so we got to realize that God is working for us. He's going to deal with the Jezebels.
Yeah.
He's going to deal with the opposition that we have. We've got to get right back in the right direction. Amen?
Yeah.
When you run from the battle, you run from the blessing. Right? When you run from the problem, you run from the promise. So don't run away from the challenges that you have when it comes to trusting God to get ahead in your life. We want to do something big. We've got to step out in faith. We've got to walk on water. We've got to believe God where there's nothing. Amen?
Amen.
You know, after all that the devil had, after all that Elijah had survived, does he really think that the devil can kill him now? After all that he's been through, somebody say this, say, "I'm coming out of drought." Amen. I've been dry too long, defeated too long, depressed too long, right? Discouraged too long, broke too long. Amen. It's a new season. I really sense that God is doing. I really sense in my heart that God, there's a new season for a whole lot of us here. And we've got to be not satisfied with where we've been. We've got to be wanting more from God. We've got to be stepping in for more. A couple more things about him. As a little struggle, because he thinks he's all alone. that's what the devil wants you to think. Nobody cares. Nobody sees what you're going through. Nobody knows your problems. And Elijah says to the Lord, there's nobody. It's just me. I've got all this, I've got Jezebel against me. It's just me. And God says, do you know that I've got 7,000 others? There's always others. So the devil will tell you you're all by yourself. He'll tell you that there's no hope, that nothing's going to work. But God sends an angel. The angel feeds him, ministers to him, strengthens him, and then goes out, takes him out to the mountain and speaks to him. The Bible says there was a strong wind that blew there, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. Then it says an earthquake came, but he wasn't in the earthquake. And then it said a gentle breeze, and the voice of the Lord was there. Do you know that God will always speak to you? That he'll always be there. You'll just be listening. For his still small voice, he'll always be there to guide you, to lead you. He's always been ministering to you, to strengthen you. Amen? And so Elijah, I wanted to just tell you today that there is a cloud. I want to remind you that there is a cloud. It may be the beginning of the process. It may be the beginning of that creative process, and all you're seeing is one teeny little cloud in a big dry sky that looked like it's already had 3.5 years of drought, and it looks like it's not going to be the solution, but it's the beginning of what God's beginning to do. I feel like it's a new season of faith in this church. I feel like it's for your life. I feel like God is doing something big, and he's going to do something bigger, and maybe dreams that maybe they feel like you've had 3.5 years of really dry season where you kind of wonder if it's ever going to happen. But you know that's a seed that's in your heart. And God, I feel like God is reminding you today to hold on to that faith, to stand firm in that faith, to not let intimidation, not let the circumstances around you put you down, but just to say, God, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. I'm going to receive your rain. I'm not going to let these obstacles in my way stop me from getting everything that you have for me. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody with me on that?
Amen.
Amen. Stand up with me right now. We're not going to leave right now, but I just want you to do something symbolic. If you say, I'm ready for this rain, then lift your hands with me right now as if you're receiving an outpouring from heaven. You've got to come out of all the fears that you've had. You've got to come out of your past. You've got to come out of failures. You've got to come out of what other people think, because it's beginning to rain. I sense that it's beginning to rain. I sense that God is moving in a way that he hasn't moved. Come on, worship team. I sense that God is moving amongst us. It's going to be an amazing season for us. It's going to be an amazing season. We've got to worship God. We've got to say thank you, Lord, for all the promises you put in my heart. Thank you, Lord, for the little bit that I see. But I thank you for the things that are yet unseen. I receive all that you have for me, Lord. I receive all that you have for me. I thank you for the rain of your presence. Let's sing it together.
We receive your rain.
I was laughing. much I love that hat. I love it. It's like the southern hat.
Okay, young man?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.